Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Back to our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And no doubt you remember that the first section, the first 13 verses, are a warning not to allow us to fall into the same traps that God's people in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, fell into in their day. And we need to learn from the example of Israel, the very sad example of Israel, who wasted their privileges in spite of miraculous deliverance and miraculous provision and all the things which they experienced from the hand of God, and could not have doubted that these things were supplied to them by God and these miracles were performed for them by God. And yet, nevertheless, they strayed in so many different ways and fell under God's severe judgment as a result thereof. And that's the sad example, and that is the warning. Don't let that happen to you. Now, what they did is outlined, I suppose you might say, described might be a better word, in verses 6 through 11, described as having a desire for evil things, worshiping false gods, participating in sexual immorality, testing God's patience, complaining about circumstances, and all of this listed, recorded, I guess I should say, in the New Testament for our example and instruction. That's what we read, verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And then, to wrap up this section, we have two helpful exhortations in verses 12 and 13, both of which have become very well-known texts to the people of God. And the one in verse 12 we looked at on the broadcast yesterday, and the one in verse 13 we're going to examine, Lord willing, today. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, January 4. Thank you for supporting this broadcast so that we were able to make it through 2021. And please understand our need of your help once again in the new year of 2022. The first well-known text in verse 12 tells us to beware self-deception. It's so easy. And we read, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. It's the sin of presumption. It's a sin of pride. It's a sin of false security. It's a sin of believing that we stand when, in fact, we are not standing on firm ground. We are not holding on to the Word of God. We are fastening our hopes upon something else than Jesus' blood and righteousness, though that may be what we say we're doing. But it is so easy to be deceived, and the warning is, let the one who thinks he stands, is that you? Do you think you stand? Let the one who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Take heed. Privileges don't guarantee salvation. Baptism does not guarantee salvation. Church membership does not guarantee salvation. Family lineage does not guarantee salvation. Let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. But now we move to verse 13, another well-known text, and here the admonition is to remember God's promises. Now, that one may not seem quite as directly connected with what has gone before as the one in verse 12, but it is connected, and let me show you how before we look at it. But we've had all these warnings about Old Testament Israel, the privileges they received, and the sins which they committed, and the judgment which fell upon them because of it. And the warning of verse 12 makes perfect sense. Let the one who stands take heed lest he fall, or the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, like is Old Testament Israel. They thought they stood in a right standing with Jehovah God, or Yahweh, their God. They thought they were secure. They thought they were protected. They thought they were insulated from failing to go to heaven, from failing to be embraced as one of God's children. They were quite sure about all of these things because of their lineage to Abraham and their circumcision and their obedience to the rituals of the Old Testament worship system and their inclusion in the life of the nation of Israel. And all of these things made them very certain of their standing, and yet many of them fell and were destroyed eternally. That is made clear in the section that we examined a moment ago. They failed. They failed. Fell. And we need to be careful that it does not happen to us. Remember verse 10, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And that's not just physical destruction, that's spiritual destruction, eternal destruction. So that connection's pretty clear. Here are people who thought they stood when in fact they fell. But how does verse 13 apply, which says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. How does that apply to the situation? Well, in this way, think about the temptations to which they succumbed. The worship of false gods, participation in sexual immorality, and so forth, even the sin of complaining. Now, we are tempted in similar ways. And the danger is that we will think that the temptation that comes to us is so strong that it cannot be resisted, it cannot be overcome, and therefore we can fall, just like they fell. But this text tells us that's not so. Remember the promises of God and realize that you can overcome your testings and temptations. And so, what are we told here? I'm reading it again. No temptation, or that word could also be translated testing, and both apply, both those translations apply and can be understood, though we must, I suppose, consider them separately to see how they apply. But whether we're talking about a testing, because what is a testing? What is a, as opposed to a temptation? You're being tested by health problems. You're being tested by financial problems. You're being tested by some other difficult circumstance of life, marriage problems and so forth. What does that tempt you to do? It's a test. It's a testing. What does it tempt you to do? Doubt God? Fail to believe his promises, fail to continue to follow him, fail to trust in him, fail to look to him for deliverance, but rather to take things into your own hands. It causes you, tempts you to turn away from God, to turn away from his word, to turn away from his people. It is so disappointing to see how many times people in the midst of trials and temptations will do the exact opposite of what they ought to do. For example, we often see people who are undergoing periods of testing, and during that period they stop attending church. And we reach out to them and say, we're missing you, what's going on? Oh, I just can't get this out of my mind. I just can't overcome these feelings of discouragement and depression and whatever. I just don't feel like coming. No, You don't. Undoubtedly, you don't. When you're being tested in that way, there seems to be, in most cases, a desire to distance yourself from other people. You don't really want to talk to anybody. You don't want to see other people. But what do you need more than anything else? You need to be with the people of God. That's one of the purposes for the church, for the local church, the assembly of the saints, is to minister to those who are facing trials and are discouraged and are weak, and we minister to one another in those situations, but only if they're there for us to minister to. When people pull away like that, they often make it very difficult to even reach them. How many times have I reached out to somebody and they don't answer their phone? How many times have I reached out to somebody and they refuse to answer emails or any other form of contact, whatever it may be? They don't want to talk to me or to anybody else from the church. And so they pull themselves away and in some cases make it very difficult to even communicate with them as they pull further and further away, which is only doing what? It's only making their situation worse, not better. That's not the way to restoration. That's not the way to overcome your trials. Your trials are tempting you to pull away from God. Your trials are tempting you to disbelieve God. So what you need to do is intentionally pull closer. If you can't find it in your heart to find the place of prayer and pull closer to God in your own relationship with Him at this particular moment because of what's going on, you can intentionally say, I don't feel like going to church, but I'm going anyway. I need the fellowship of the saints. I need the ministry of the word. I need to open my lips and sing praises to God, even if I don't feel like it necessarily. These are the things I know that I need, even though they're not the things that I particularly desire. But I know that I need them. I know that. And so we do what we know to do, not what we feel like doing. If we're wise, that's a testing. It tests us. It becomes a temptation just as much as a temptation to sexual immorality. It becomes a temptation to sin against God in various ways that I have just described. And then other things that we call temptations are temptations, obvious temptations to commit adultery or to lie about this situation or to steal something that you know doesn't belong to you and so forth. And those are temptations, but of course, the situation I described is also a temptation. The testing is a temptation. It's a temptation to doubt, to unbelief. And this text tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's the promise of God. So remember God's promises, and tomorrow we'll have to get into the details of this promise a little more carefully and in greater detail, so please join us then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.